I'm covered in pollen. I can't breathe. Snot all over you. Snot all over me.
Hell, you ruined my patio. Every time I go outside to wipe it down, I got a whole helping of people coming over, but 2 seconds later, there ain't a clean goddamn seat to be found.
Someone, maybe you weren't planning on screening the song that long.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, I missed that. But anyway, who doesn't feel that right now?
You know, it's funny.
Spring sinuses.
You can always tell who has been in Arizona more than one summer when it comes to the summertime based on what trees they park underneath. You know, a lot of people will park underneath a mesquite tree. They won't make that mistake twice. You know, all that sap that drips on it. Or you look around the ground for dark coloration or underneath the tree to know, is this a safe spot to park or is it dripping here? And you get into a parking lot and, you know, there's five spaces way up front that are close that no one's parked in because they're all huddled around these two little trees out
there. Trying to find the shade. Yeah, it's allergy season now, to be sure. Everything's blooming, but... yeah, I don't know if I got inoculated from allergies. I'm grateful I don't have much of a problem with that. I remember as a kid, I used to take those little spears that would come up from the Bermuda grass on the playground, those little helicopter things. I used to take those and chew the little ends off of those, you know. Maybe I got inoculated because I've never had any kind of hay fevers ever since. But yeah, those are... You got a lot of people these days are taking the allergy meds and running for cover. It's a shame because this is a beautiful time to be outdoors, and those with allergies, you know, have a hard time with all the pollen that's falling everywhere.
Here's your next trivia question: Do you guys provide these cards to customers, or is this just
only special customers?
Only special customers. Pine cones have genders: true or false? The female makes a seed; the male cone sheds pollen. Text that to 411-923, and we're going to do something at the end of the broadcast. It's a work in progress, and we have a follow-up from last week, or from last Talking Trees last month. But on the text as well, somebody wanted to know, is it normal for one mesquite tree to fill out, and another one seems to have no growth at this point?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it is normal. I mean, not normal in terms of potential health issues, but trees are unique as humans are, and there's so many differences between the planting site on some of our properties. You'll have we have 15 elm trees on the driveway coming into our office building, and a couple of them still haven't fully leafed out, and some of them have been leafed out for a month. So, just depending on where the tree's planted. The soil conditions, the amount of water, sometimes the actual location, you know, in terms of sunlight, all can affect, you know, how quickly they come out of dormancy. Then there can also be some species variations too. You have trees that are just slightly different. The planting stock, you know, they might have come from a different nursery. They might have had just a little bit different genetic makeup. And that can also affect how quickly they come out of dormancy. Sometimes it can be an indication of a health issue. Plants that are under stress will come out of dormancy later, and they will drop their leaves in the fall sooner because they're trying to get out. They're trying to stop producing, you know, sooner and delay because as soon as they leaf out, they have to be. It's a energy draw on the plant's resources. And just like plants, their sporadic bloomers only bloom when there's adequate water. You know, trees sometimes don't put on leaves until they absolutely have to survive. So that could be an issue too with availability of water and general health conditions. We have seen some trees that have girdling roots that are struggling with below ground issues that don't put on leaves very quickly. And we've later discovered that once we took care of those root girdling problems, then the tree went back to more of a normal cycle of leaf drop and refoliation in the spring.
You see that a lot with Palo Verdes and the variation between the species. There's the thornless ones that they've been hybrid, and those bloom different than when the natives do. And even coming down the 51, there's a big, massive Palo Verde that's got to be 40 feet tall and just as wide a canopy. And the whole thing is yellow. And then the next six Palo Verdes you see past that don't even have a speck of of yellow on them yet.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of differences. You know, up in Sedona, there's a road where there's a lot of off-road vehicle traffic, and it's increased over the months, and it's causing some real difficulties with the neighbors because of dust. The dust is settling on a lot of those plants, and then they're defoliating and dying, and up to 50, 60 feet from the road. And these homeowners along those areas are complaining now because these properties that they purchased now there's plant death, quite a distance from the road. And so, yeah, these are all factors that can affect your ability of your trees to survive. Little differences. Don't worry about it if too much. If you feel like there might be a health concern with that one tree that's not leafing out as quickly, it is definitely an issue, indication that there's some stress preventing it from doing its normal thing and producing that foliage. So maybe a call to an arborist would be in order just to check that out.
And on your talking trees to do, you have, with a lot of the spring growth does come insects and caterpillars and whiteflies and spider mites. And you've got a note here to look closely for those. What kinds of damage by insect will we start to notice?
Well, you've got different types of insects. You have some boring insects, gnawing insects, chewing insects, ones that, dive into the interior and are like borers that are feeding on the heartwood on the interior of our trees. And then you've got a lot of leaf insects that attack the leaves. If you do see some of your shrubs and trees that looking a little thinner than normal, do take a closer look because it could be insect damage. Caterpillars are on your tachomas and your Texas mountain laurels and on your bougainvillea. And there's also some whiteflies are quite active right now. We noticed on a lot of our customer landscapes the last couple of weeks, whitefly populations have gotten pretty heavy, especially on ficus trees. So if you start seeing this defoliation and you can catch it early, if the infestation isn't too heavy, it might be that you can just let it go and it'll pass and the tree will refoliate after the insects have moved on. If the infestation is real, real heavy, it might be better to kind of come in and knock it down with a technical product to kind of bring it under control. And then, didn't have the white flies. What was the other we had? We had the caterpillars, the white flies.
Spider mites.
The spider mites. Yeah, this is spider mites are really active in the warmer season. You may not see them quite as active now, although we're already seeing some evidence. They love dusty conditions, so make sure with your arborvitae, your cypress, your junipers, trees that are pretty susceptible to spider mites, be sure you get a hose out there. And just wash them down. Just water them down with sometimes that's enough to even to control the spider mites. Control the dust. You control them. They don't like they like the dustier environment. If you see that webbing among in the leaves there, you definitely have a spider mite issue. Again, something that's pretty easy to control, but chemically. But you do need to get out ahead of it, and give an arborist a call and get that evaluated and treated as soon as you can.
And scheduling for early summer, late spring fertilizer.
Yeah, we talk about our three fertilization seasons each year. We are just coming to the end now in April of our early season, which is February, March, and April. And we're getting ready for our second application fertilizer sometime in May, June, July. And if you've it's not too late to get that first application down, but you need to do that pretty soon. And then, again, our final third application is August, September, October. normally are not fertilizing in those last 2-3 months of the year in November, December, January, because the soil temperatures are so low, there's not a lot of uptake of fertilizer, unless, of course, you do a foliar spray, which can be taken up through the leaves. But generally, we are fertilizing those 9 months of the year in those three-month application windows, and we're coming to the end of that first one now.
And what type of tree fertilizer? You were mentioning a foliar spray. There's a liquid soil application. You've also got your granular application. Do y'all have a preference, or do you use all three of those depending on time, season, species?
Well, we like to mimic rainfall and actually do a soil drench, because it allows the water to the solution that we're putting down, the liquid fertilizers, to just flood the area around the base of the tree and be absorbed in just as rainfall would be. And the trees and our shrubs have their those small feeder roots that are right at the soil surface. And it's really the most effective way, I think, get that to the entire root zone of the tree. Of course, you need to be watering out near the drip line on your mature established trees, and putting the solution where the greatest uptake will be, but throughout the entire root zone. There are times where deep root injection would be justified. If you have a tree in a turf setting, for instance, it's nice to get the fertilizer down below the root zone of the grass so that the trees can get some of that product. Because if you flood irrigate right over grass, the lawn will usually get about 80 to 90% of the fertilizer, and the trees will get the leftovers. So there's a time where you do deep root injection. And then, of course, foliar sprays can be done as well. You can spray right onto the plant surface. There are times where there's limited space, planting space around a tree to be able to put very much product into the ground. So we can do a foliar application. Maybe a combination of one or two or three of the different application methods would apply depending on the location of your plant.
And you have mentioned here it's also still a great time to plant as well.
Yeah, it's a good time to plant. We like, just as with pruning, we like to new plants that are going into the ground to be done early enough in the year so they can get established before the real hot weather comes. Pretty tough to put a tree into the ground when it's 110 degrees out. Even our desert plants, just when they're struggling to get established, that's pretty tough to do in the middle of the summer. One tree that is okay to plant in the summer is palm trees, because palms require new root development to get established in the landscape, so they generate new roots more quickly in the middle of the summer. So feel free to plant your date palms, your fan palms in the middle of summer, and you'll do fine.